Genesis chapter 25 verses 1 through 11. Abraham took another wife whose name was Keturah. She bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. Jokshan fathered Sheba and Dedan. The sons of Dedan were Ashrim, Letushim, and Lumim. The sons of Midian were Ephah, Epher, Hanok, Ida, and Elda. All these were the children of Keturah. Abraham gave all he had to Isaac, but to the sons of his concubines, Abraham gave gifts, and while he was still living, he sent them away from his son Isaac eastward to the east country. These are the days of the years of Abraham's life, 175 years. Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. Isaac and Ishmael, his sons, buried him in the cave of Machpelah, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite, east of Mamre, the field that Abraham purchased from the Hittites. There Abraham was buried with Sarah his wife. After the death of Abraham, God blessed Isaac his son, and Isaac settled at Beer Lahairoi. Today's text shows Abraham's last journey on this earth. The story about Abraham begins in Genesis 12 and ends in chapter 25. Abraham's journey as a pilgrim began and ended with God's calling, as he finally entered the true home prepared by God. Abraham runs the race of faith by God's grace, enters heaven, and finally wears the crown of righteousness prepared for him. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verses 7 and 8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Abraham will be embraced by the Father God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the saints who have gone before him in heaven. And he will live in eternal rest, praising God who faithfully guided his life from the beginning to the end by grace. Through Abraham's entire life, we can see the trajectory of our own lives. Although Abraham had numerous faults and sins in his life, God protected his life until the end and guided him faithfully, allowing him to enjoy the blessing of testifying to Jesus and finally reaching the glory of heaven. The same is true for us. There have been and will be numerous faults and sins in our lives, but God will protect our lives in faith and guide us faithfully at those times, allowing us to always turn away with repentance and faith, allowing us to testify to Jesus, and finally reaching the glory of heaven. Our journey as a pilgrim, which began with God's calling, will also end with God's calling, and we will finally enter the heavenly home prepared by God and enjoy eternal rest and praise for him. This is because Jesus has accomplished all salvation for us. In verse 8 of today's text, Abraham's death is expressed as follows. He died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. The words used here for good old age and full of years are translated as pleasant and satisfied in the original Hebrew language. In addition, when it is said that he was gathered to his people, it means that God gathered him to his kingdom where his people dwell. Abraham's death is described like this. First, what does it mean that Abraham lived a pleasant and satisfying life and died? Does it mean that he lived a long time in this world? enjoyed many worldly blessings, and lived without any regrets? It's not necessarily so. Abraham lived 175 years in today's text, but compared to the lives of his ancestors at the time, he did not live that long. Besides, Abraham and Sarah had only one son, Isaac. Although Abraham was wealthy during his lifetime, he did not possess all the land of Canaan which God promised. Nevertheless, he lived in this world where God had allowed him to live as a saved child of God and a pilgrim to heaven. And he lived in God's grace until the day God called him. So he lived a pleasant and satisfying life. This word also applies to all of us saints. Whether our lives in this world are short or long, whether we are sick or healthy, whether we are rich or poor, the lives of saints who have been called by God in Jesus according to His will are all pleasant and satisfying. It is not because we live such a life well, but because of Jesus and His grace. Jesus saved us. Jesus is with us. We live by faith in Jesus. We enjoy His salvation, and eventually we turn to our heavenly home. So we live a pleasant and satisfied life in this life. In addition, he uses the expression that Abraham's death was being gathered to God's people. The death of a saint means that they can finally become part of the congregation of the righteous in heaven. God seeks and saves His children one by one and gathers them into His house. And he lets those children enter God's house, find rest, and live in eternal fellowship of love. We must remember that our death is also a blessed reality in which God gathers His beloved children. Abraham lived and died with faith, looking upon these blessed realities. In Hebrews 11, it says, Abraham died in faith, longing for a better home in heaven. In other words, through death, he finally entered the heavenly home he had longed for and was held in the arms of the Lord who loved him so much. Dear saints, Abraham dies. We all die. Even though we are believers and our spiritual reality is different, when it comes to our physical death, we are no different from worldly sinners. We may die from illness. We may die from an accident. We may die from old age. We may die miserably. And we all die the same as the worldly people. That is why this life is so hopeless without Jesus. It is a miserable life that leads to eternal judgment without Jesus. That is why we live our lives realizing how thankful we are for Jesus. Because Jesus is with us, because He saved us with His blood and righteousness, we believe in Him and live a pleasant and satisfying life in the hope of an eternal heavenly home in any reality, as in today's text. The life journey that Abraham ran until his death in today's text is our life journey in this world. When Abraham was first called by God in Ur of the Chaldeans, where he worshipped idols, we too were called from a life belonging to the world to a life belonging to the kingdom of God. Even though he was called to be God's people, he fled from God to Egypt due to a famine. And we went to Egypt together with him to seek the world. When he gave his wife Sarah to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and Abimelech, the king of Gerar, lying to them that Sarah was his sister for the fear that he would die. We also sold Sarah together with him out of fear of the world. When he did not believe in God's promise and gave birth to Ishmael, through his maidservant Hagar and presented him before God, we also boasted about our flesh and presented Ishmael with him. When he made a covenant with God and was circumcised, we were with him. When he offered his only son Isaac on Mount Moriah, and when he sent his wife Sarah away to first to heaven and mourned, we were with him. And when he died, we died with him. And when he entered heaven, we entered with him. However, in all of Abraham's life journeys, there was an invisible journey guided by the Holy Spirit. It was a journey that allowed him to participate in the life of Jesus, who would come and follow the path Jesus would take. It was a life in which he was called in Jesus, participated in Jesus' suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension, and finally followed the path Jesus took to reach the glory of heaven. If it were without Jesus, Abraham would have lost his way and wandered and ended up on the path of destruction. We too participate in Jesus' life and follow the path Jesus took. Even if our lives have many sins and faults like Abraham's, and even if our lives are filled with things we regret, because we are united with Jesus by faith, we will not lose our way and will eventually reach the glory of heaven by following the path Jesus took. That is why the Apostle Paul, who confessed, "O wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death?" was able to face death joyfully, confessing that only through Jesus did he fight the good fight, finish his journey, and kept his faith. Henceforth, he believed there was laid up for him the crown of righteousness. Therefore, no one can escape death on this earth, but the most important thing is whether or not we possess Jesus, and whether or not we have a home to return to after death. The reality of facing death is completely different between us and the worldly people. Romans chapter 8 verse 18 says, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us." In other words, the strength to overcome any current suffering or death is given from believing in the reality of the glory that we will enjoy with Jesus in our heavenly home after death. God planned our salvation from eternity. And from the beginning of the world, he prepared a home in heaven for us. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" Abraham was saved to inherit the kingdom of God prepared for him from the beginning of creation, and finally enter that kingdom through death. For you and me, God has already prepared our eternal home in heaven from the time he created all things, and he has saved us through Jesus and brought us into that home. There is hope in the lives of saints who have a home to return to. There is a true hope that allows us to endure any hardship of this world. With that hope, we can overcome this world. Though suffering greatly in a foreign land, separated from their families for a while, can overcome everything by looking forward to the day when they can return home, rest, and live happily with their families. Our lives are like that too. Therefore, we live overcoming the world with a hope of a heavenly home. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, Though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. The saints are those who have a living hope set on heaven, and with this hope, they overcome the present trials that cause many worries and reach glory in God's protection until the end. Living hope is not a hope set on this world that fades away or disappears, but a hope set on eternal heaven. We have this hope, but what about the sinners of the world? They live holding on to only a dead hope for this world, which will fade away and disappear, is all they have, and their hope is there. The Bible does not call it hope, so they do not have hope. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. People in the world have no hope because this world is everything to them. They have to live with all their purposes to do well in this world. They have to constantly place their joy and satisfaction in this world and live with this world as their purpose. Especially when we look at it in light of the Bible, it says that their hope is in worldly wealth. So all the joys and sorrows come because of worldly wealth. But will those worldly wealth ultimately give them joy and satisfaction? That is an illusion. No matter how much worldly wealth they have, true joy and satisfaction will not come. On the contrary, it is the opposite. They will live a more anxious, fearful, and vain life. We cannot live like those who have no hope. We have a hope that cannot be taken away from us in any reality of this world. True joy and satisfaction are in Jesus and heaven. With the hope we have in Jesus and heaven, we can always live a life of joy and satisfaction. And when we live such a life, we will testify to the power of the gospel. Dear saints, what is evangelism? It is to testify the gospel and spread the word about Jesus. However, evangelism can also be said in this way. It is to tell people about the hope we have. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. The life we live, bearing witness to the hope of heaven with Christ as our Lord, is evangelism. Jesus is the Lord we serve. And when we bear witness to the fact that our hope is not in this world, and when we overcome even in the face of death, when people ask us what our hope is and where we place our hope, we are told to tell them our hope. This is evangelism. Evangelism cannot be done without the hope of Jesus and heaven. If we still place our hope in this world, place our joy and satisfaction in this world, and live no different from the people of the world, what will the world ask us? What will they be curious about when they are the same as us? Wouldn't they have questions only when they see that we have a different hope? Believers, when do we feel the most miserable and unhappy? Is it when we fail in the world, get sick, and experience various frustrations? Or is it when we think about our lives without Jesus, when we look back on our lives in sin without a proper relationship with God, and when we think about our lives without hope for heaven? On the contrary, when do we feel the most blessed and happy? Is it just when we are successful in the world and everything goes well and our children are doing well? Or is it when we realize that because Jesus is with us and because our eternal home is in heaven? Our lives cannot lie. Our lives reveal where our hearts and our hopes lie. When we lose the world, does the hope for heaven come to us? Or does it not seem like everything is over? At such times, we must repent and turn away, place our true faith in Jesus, and live with our true hope in heaven. I hope you will find pleasant and satisfied lives there. The fact that Abraham lived a pleasant and satisfied life and died does not mean that his life was perfect. Abraham was not perfect until he died. If we look at today's text, Abraham took a second wife after Sarah died, and the children born from her became the ancestors of all nations. It was like this until he died. It shows us that God's grace accomplishes until the end. Because it was a life in which God's will was fully accomplished, because it was a life guided by God's grace, because it was a life in which he was saved by Jesus and entered heaven, his life was pleasant and satisfying. The same goes for us. We are those who are still living pleasant and satisfying lives. No matter what our reality in this world is, we may sin and fall again, and we may always live a life of regret because we are lacking, even if there is nothing good left behind after we die, and even if our lives were full of sorrow and pain when we look back, in the end, God's will for us will be fully accomplished. God's grace is leading us to the end. And because we will surely enter heaven by following the path Jesus took, our lives are pleasant and satisfying. Our Jesus' life was the same. Although his life seemed to have failed and perished in the suffering to the world, he lived a pleasant and satisfying life by following only God's will and entered heaven. Therefore, saints, please believe only in Jesus and follow the path Jesus took by faith. I hope that you will live diligently according to the will of our Lord, enter the heaven we have longed for, meet the Lord who loves you, and live in eternal joy and satisfaction. I hope you will yearn for the heavenly home that our loving Heavenly Father has prepared for you, and live a pleasant and satisfied life in this hope in Jesus.